like to ask if you would, if you'd turn with me in the book of Psalms. Which one are we on here? Psalm 34. Begin with verse 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And my soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. You know, praising God is like medicine. It is something that I'm sure touches the Lord's heart, but it is something that is just like medicine for us because it is the greatest use of our lips and lungs and vocal cords, praising the Lord. And you do not have to be an accomplished singer to praise the Lord. And the with your mouth and singing and music is not the only way you can praise the Lord either. Some people are gifted when it comes to art. Some people are gifted when it comes to writing and poetry. One thing that seems to be a little bit of a lost art in the particular age we live in right now is writing out prayers and writing out praises. You know, before television came, poetry was an art form that was very, very popular in our country. And there's still poets and poetry now, but not popular the way it used to be. It used to be that some of the poets in our country, their names were household names. It's not really so much like that anymore. But some folks, they have poured out their heart in praise to God through the way they put words together. Some people praise the Lord through things that they make. I know an artist in Portland, Maine, and he has a barn, and the upstairs of the barn is where he creates. And when he started off his adult life, he didn't know the Lord, and then he found Jesus. And his art studio became like a worship center. And he says, I'll come up there, and he goes, I just see my canvases, and I see my paints. And he goes, I just feel the Lord's presence. And as he brings things to my mind and my heart, and I just paint and paint and paint. And sometimes I just paint for hours, and no one's here. It's just me and the Lord, and it's such a sweet, sweet, sweet thing. I know some folks are specially gifted when it comes to come to business. I have a friend of mine who owns several companies. And he talks about seeking the Lord's guidance in his business and his business decisions. And he talks about times when he's just on his knees and because he wants to know how God wants him to progress in his company and things that his company's supposed to develop and contracts that they're supposed to take and contracts that they're not supposed to take and what he's supposed to doing as he's working with his people. And he talks about times when he prays about these things and he goes to bed, and sometimes in the night he feels the Lord wake him, and all of a sudden he knows how he should structure that budget, and he knows how he should structure those people. And he praises God and he writes things down, and the next morning he's in the office. And I'm telling you, that is somebody who is praising the Lord through their management and leadership expertise. And it is a wonderful thing to praise the Lord and to use the gifts that he has given us and use the things about us that make us unique, because we are all different and we are at different stages in our lives, and we can use these unique things about us to bring glory to his name. And even if nobody else knows about it, even if it's a matter that is a private matter, we can do it to honor him. I know people that they praise the Lord by things they do in their flower gardens. You may say, well, that's very, very private, because unless you invite somebody in and they see what you've done. Well, you know, not everything when it comes to praising the Lord has to be things for people's eyes. And there are some things that are things that need to be done to honor God that maybe if you don't show them to others, it might be a special thing. Because often when other people get to see the things that we're doing, sometimes they give us praise or such, and it's very easy for our ego to then get in there, because we all like to be praised and we all like to be recognized. And it can go from being something that we've done for God to something that somehow we're doing for other people's attention. Jesus said, when you give to people, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. He says, when you pray, go into your closet and pray alone to your Father who sees what is done in secret. And it says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will see you and he will reward you. For that person that praises the Lord through what goes on in their flower garden, you know, the Lord knows those plants that you've chosen, and he knows the way you've arranged them, and he knows the thoughts that are going through your mind, that are in your heart, and why you've done those things, and the thoughts that you're thinking. And we can make the thoughts in our minds be thoughts that echo with praise to the Lord. That's a sweet and beautiful thing to him. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And seeking the Lord is the wisest thing a person ever does. For the Lord isn't far off. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. Because you look to him, and he is so very near. And there's something about being near to the Lord that something that comes with it is radiance. Remember when Moses would go up on the mountain and meet with the Lord to get wisdom for how he should lead the people? They tell us in the book of Exodus that when he would come down from the mountain, sometimes after he had spent this time with the Lord, his face was so radiant, it glowed. It says sometimes the people would literally ask Moses to put a veil over his face, because the longer he had been down from the mountain, little by little that radiance would go away until his face would look normal again. And I'll tell you what, seeking the Lord and being near him causes a certain radiance to just be a part of who you are. And I'll tell you, when it comes to walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes people settle for a walk that isn't much of a walk. You know, they can even go to church, you know, and they're like, well, I go to church and I'm a Christian and I believe this and this. And I'm thinking, man, that's just the beginning. Walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and having him on the inside and loving him and learning about him and serving him and learning to love other people and learning to serve them in Jesus' name. Wow! I'll tell you what, you find the whole Christianity thing just takes on whole different dimensions. Because the Lord is doing things in this world and you become a part of what he's doing. We become like his hands and his feet. He puts his words in our mouth and we get to share them. He gives us his resources and we get to share them. He gives us health and strength and we get to use it for others. And there's nothing sweeter in this life than not just holding on to what he's given to us, but giving out and using what he's given us. That's really kind of pedal to the metal Christianity. Jesus was talking about us in his prayer in John 17, 14, when he was saying, and here's the truth for all of us, hold on to this, we are not of this world, as Jesus is not of this world, because he has changed our status. Romans chapter 1, verse 6 reminds us that we are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. We are called by him. We are part of him. We are not of this world. And God uses us. Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth. And he sprinkles us just exactly where he needs us. Romans Revelations chapter 17, verse 14. We are called by Him. We are chosen by Him. And He looks at us and He has a title for us. We are His faithful followers. We are His chosen vessels. We are bearers of His holy name. We belong to Him. We are a chosen people. We're a holy nation. We're a people belonging to God. Amen. The more you start thinking those thoughts, you're going to find that the Lord will just turn the heat up in your life. And let me just tell you what, you could keep your mouth shut. You could say nothing. And you could just wear regular old clothes. And you go anywhere. And people are going to figure out whose you are pretty fast. And you're going to find situations where you're going to be used immediately. Because you will be radiant. Verse 6, this poor man called and the Lord heard him and He saved him out of all his troubles. And you know, the Lord has a way of taking care of His people. Do you have a need? Let me tell you what, you keep the priority on walking with Him and walking close with Him and loving Him. And you just tell Him about the need and He's got a way to work those things out. See, this morning in our prayer thing, I've got a need. We need 6 new students at CHA. There's a need. I've talked to the Lord about it. Another thing we need, we've got to figure out some health insurance things with our staff. I don't know. Insurance is so confusing. It's like asking me to, you know, solve the most complicated problem. That's what the insurance agent industry is like today. We've got a couple roof leak issues around this place. We've already had roofing people up here, and we have not figured it out. When we have our wonderful storms that are just tearing through, we end up with a puddle of water over there. As you look at the wall there, you can kind of see where the paint's a little funky there. There'll always be a puddle on the floor there, and we have not been able to figure it out. And we got a couple of others in our other building. And, you know, just as I'm getting ready to go to bed at night, Tammy will sit on the edge of the bed and she'll go, you know, I'm ready for her to say, good night, honey, I love you. She goes, you know, we got to figure out that roof leak at the church. That's important. Good night. And she gets in the bed. I was all ready for bed. Now my brain's going, all right, I need to get up and I guess I need to think about this. I was laying in bed getting ready to sleep. Now I'm thinking, what are we going to do about this? Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to make walking with the Lord, number first. I am going to love Him. I am going to enjoy Him. I am going to tell Him about these things. And just watch. He's going to open doors and He's going to provide. When I go and work on it, all of a sudden I'll be able to find someone who will help me. And I'll find the resources. And God will take care of those things. And He'll show me what to do. And often what we're tempted to do is to take and set God over to the side and put all of our focus on our worries. And that is not a winning plan. We need to keep the Lord first and then tell Him about those things. We need to call on Him and He'll save us from our troubles. Look at verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and He delivers them. Sometimes angels are visible. More than often, angels are invisible. And you need to understand that God has resources that you cannot see. His hand is at work many times in many ways, in ways that you are not aware of. And when you feel like you're all alone, you are absolutely wrong. And when you feel like everything you have is not enough, it may not be enough. But the one who is standing beside you has no limit. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Just keep the Lord at the center, folks. Just make walking with Him the most important thing. He'll provide. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. I remember talking to, I had this doctor I met one time. He was a very intelligent guy. Before he went into medicine, he worked, he was in politics, thought he wanted to be a politician, worked as an aide in Washington, D.C. for a while, got frustrated with Washington, D.C. stuff. I'm sure you can imagine what that is. And decided to do something different because he wanted to try to make a difference in the world. And I remember when I met him, and I talked with him a little bit about the Lord. He knew about Christianity. And when he was in college, he took a religions class, and he read some of the Bible. And intellectually, he knew all these things. And so I got my nerve up one day when I was coming in for an appointment, and I challenged him. I said, it's one thing to know about him. It's another thing to jump in. And like the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Going back to the little illustration I shared with you before we prayed this morning, you know, before I ever started pursuing a relationship with Tammy, I could see that she was a special person. But you know what? I could have just sat on the side and observed that she was a special person and never done anything about it. And she just would have been someone who was a nice memory of a person that I crossed paths with who was a special person. But I decided to act on things and to get to know her. And we entered into a relationship. And I realized how wonderful it was, and I dove in. And I'm so happy that I did. And with the Lord, folks don't need just more information about God. They need a relationship with Him. Folks don't need more explanations. They need more experiences. Folks who are standing on the edge need to get off the edge and to take the plunge. So I had the doctor ask me in the most sincere way, he goes, well, what do you mean and what does that look like? And I was thankful that day that the Lord gave me wisdom. I said, here's what you do. Sincerely try praying. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to tell the Lord that you're trying to pray. Tell Him that you want to learn about Him and that your heart and life is open to learn about Him and to follow Him. And I want you to pray that every day for a month. And then I want you to go to church on Sunday. And I want you to get a Bible and I want you to read it every day. And I want you to have a time where you're open to God about the things you're reading and I want you to pray to Him. And then if at the end of the month you tell me that nothing's changed, everything's the same, I promise you, I'll leave you alone, but you will at least be able to say that you tried it. He goes, fine. And that's what he did. And I'll tell you what, he got about 2 weeks in, and God got a hold of his heart and life. And the Lord changed him. He ended up meeting a wonderful, godly woman. They got married. He ended up leaving the medical field, and he's actually the principal of a Christian school now. And he has a joy like he never knew before. And his life, you can't even compare his life now to what it used to be, because he tasted and saw that the Lord was good. He went from being an outside observer to the whole thing, gathering information, but not necessarily partaking of it in any depth. And he dove in. And what he found was that the Lord was there, and the promises are true, and the power of God is real. And he began this wonderful journey, a journey that made him into somebody new. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in Him. Well, as I close this morning, I have something that I would consider is one of my most precious possessions in the pulpit with me this morning. I have my grandmother's journal. My grandmother on my father's side was a very simple woman. I think the biggest job she ever had in her life was she worked at a sardine factory putting sardines in a can. Telling you the truth. It was piecework. You got paid by the number of cans you did. So you didn't get paid so much an hour. You got paid by how much you could do producing. At certain times of year, they would switch and you'd put tiny shrimp in the can. So my grandmother was not a, she didn't graduate from high school. Simple woman, but good woman. Her and my grandfather, for 1940s standards, were hardworking people, good people, party people. They lived for the weekend and all the frolicking that went with that. And my father remembers as a little boy everything associated with alcohol in those parties was bad. After one bad experience when he was a little boy, and he didn't really know anything about God, but he knew that there was a God out there. He prayed. He was locked in a car while all the adults were in the house drinking and fighting, and he was in the car. He made God a promise. He says, God, if I can survive my childhood, I'll never let alcohol touch my lips, and I will live for you. And there came a point where a relative asked if the kids could go to Sunday school. And my dad and his sister started going to Sunday school. And then after a while, my grandmother and grandfather went to church to check it out. And in time, my grandmother and grandfather really found the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stepped away from all that other stuff. Now, you know, alcoholism had run in my family for generations. So, although they stopped drinking, its effects deeply affected the family. But my father promised that he would never go down that path. And my generation was the first generation of Lanes. And I can go back seven generations that was not affected by it. And in this book, I can read about in 1944 when started first thing in the morning, my grandmother writes, George and Margaret, and she usually calls my father Georgie. Georgie and Margaret went to Sunday school. Let's see, my father was born in 1930. He would have been 11 at this point. It says, little Georgie was the first one up before the rest of us and out. Waiting to go to Sunday school. And God kept his word to this little boy. He survived his childhood, ended up going in business for himself, and I grew up in a home that was very, very blessed. And I grew up to a changed family. And taste and see that the Lord is good. I know that personally. And I can kind of see for my family where it all started. And you know, for all of us, do you want to live a pedal to the metal kind of walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, guess what? That's what he eagerly desires for you. Now, your pedal to the metal life isn't going to look exactly like mine. It will be like mine because it will be filled with tremendous joy and satisfaction, love and peace. He will not fill you up just to the brim. He'll fill you up to overflowing. So there'll be this overflow effect. Like, let's just imagine if I had a pitcher of water on a, well, I could have it right here on this altar. And I say, all right, let's fill it up with water. And I get it up to the top. And then you say, stop pouring, Pastor Doug, because it is now going to overflow all over the table. And then I kind of smile and tip it up, and it's just going everywhere. And that's how the grace of God is. The best thing you could ever do for your family is you being filled with God's wonderful Holy Spirit. The best thing you could ever do for your business is to have you just filled with the Holy Spirit. The best thing you could do for your children, best thing you could do for your neighbors, best thing you can do for the world is you close to Him. Because the end result is going to be beautiful. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I'd like to challenge you right now, if you would bow your heads with me. And let's talk to the Lord. Let's ask Him a couple of questions. How can we know You better? Lord, is everything in my life laid before You? Lord, do You truly come first in my life? Lord, are there new things that You've been trying to teach me and I haven't got yet? Is there any resistance within me? Is there anything that You've been calling me to do for a long time? I pray, Lord, that You would speak to us right now as we seek You, Lord. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Thank You for being here in our service. Thank You for being in our hearts and lives. We love to be in Your presence. We love to be with You. I ask you to help us to get to know You more. Use us, Lord, to help other people. Help us, Lord, in our areas of weakness. Help us as a church family to be patient with each other and kind and helpful. Thank You, Lord. And in all these things, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.